I've been fighting them over, trying, please don't make me do this, Lord. Because it's one that, well, it speaks to my heart as well. I mean, I deal with the same thing as you guys do. I'm human like everybody else. And as the Lord's given this to me, he was preaching and speaking to me about it as well. A couple of times it brought me to tears, knowing what and why. What am I doing this for? Why do I just sit back? And we'll get to that in a second. Okay. If everybody would please turn to Acts, first chapter, please. And let me go open this with some prayer, please. Lord, bless these lips of clay, Father. I bring this word in which you intended it, Father God. May these people out here hear the words that you intended, Father God. May it penetrate their hearts. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, Father God. Amen. We're going to start the first chapter. I'm going to entitle this, Given the Holy Ghost the Respect He Deserves. Verse 1, Acts 1. The former treatise I have, O Theotlopis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he through the Holy Ghost had given the commandments to the apostles. Okay, that kind of freaked me out a little bit. That's okay. Let's continue. To whom also we showed ourselves alive after, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Is that me? Yeah, that is me. My bad. Okay. Many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, He that have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know at these times of the seasons, and which of the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall have, you see, receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Israel, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. See, it says here in verse 2. Look at verse 2. The word says, through the Holy Ghost, he gave some commandments to the apostles. It didn't say 10 commandments, but it's probably not. Sorry. I'm a little nervous. But to the apostles. And why was this? Why did he have to go through the Holy Ghost to give them their commandments? Jesus wasn't there. That's how he had to get taken care of. That is his way of communicating with us. The Holy Spirit is God's way of communicating with us. That, because Jesus, you don't see Jesus sitting in the pew right here, do you? That's our connection from God to us, is the Holy Spirit. And in verse 5, it said, John truly baptized us with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So, when we get baptized with water, pastor comes back here and fills the tub up, it's a choice for us to walk back there and be baptized. He's just not going to come out there and pour a big old jug of water on us, is he? Say, you're baptized now. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. It's our choice. It's a gift that's given freely. We have to go out there and receive that gift. It's just not forced upon you. You have to honestly and truly receive it. And it's given to us freely. We don't have to pay for it. It's not like everything else in this world. Everything you got, anything you have to get, you have to pay for. Everything. Everything has a price and a cost. The Holy Ghost is a free gift. It's what we use it for. It's what's going to cost you. Correct? Let's look at verse 8. But we shall receive power upon high. The Holy Ghost is coming to you. See here in this verse that when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive power from on high. Power that we might be witnesses. I didn't read the rest of that. Let's go to... let's read the rest of that verse. And ye shall be witnesses upon me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That means just don't be witnesses in the church. Not in this local body. It says the uttermost parts of the earth. It's in the streets. It's in the job. It's in on your way driving on the car. That guy cuts you off. You don't witness by showing him your middle finger, do you? No, you let it go. Like, man, that dude didn't flip me off. Right? And that could be a witness in itself. You see all the anger and the hate and the evil in this world? We as Christians should be a light. We should be set apart. We should be different. Not like the world. We should be completely different. And the Holy Ghost is a He. I've heard people so many times refer to the Holy Ghost as an it. Oh, the Holy Ghost, it's so wonderful. It's blessed me so much. He is not a He. I mean, He is not it. He is an it. He is a He. He is the third part of the Trinity. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the contributing factor of make one Godhead. Correct? We're going to read Acts 1:13-14 now. And then when they were all come up into the upper room, where there abode both Peter, James, John, and Philip, Andrew, and Thomas, Bart, and Andrew, James, and the son of Alphaeus, and Matthew, and James, and the son, Alphaeus and Solomon, Zethos, and Judas, and the brother of James, these all continued with one accord in one prayer and supplication with women, Mary, and the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So, we read here, they were all in one mind and one accord. We hear this all the time. But what does that really mean? Everybody's heard that the whole life. We should be in one mind and one accord. It means we should be all thinking and wanting to do the same exact thing at the same exact time. We should be focusing on one thing and one thing only. And that focus should be focused on Jesus Christ and His salvation and our salvation and saving others as well. It's all the one same thing. I explained it a little bit more, but it's all one thing. It's being a Christian. That's what it breaks down to. And let's go to Acts 2. I got a lot of scripture here, so it's always good. Plus, it takes up time. No. Acts 2, verse 1. And the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And it appeared to them, I'll read a little farther. And it appeared to them, cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon them. And gave the Spirit to them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, and the Jews and devout men, every nation under heaven. For one thing, wow. You see a lot of people in one place all at once, right? This hardly ever happens, doing the same thing, praying in the upper room, especially back in the Bible times. I call it Bible times because, you know, I don't know the exact date myself, so. It was very, very rare for people to be doing this. So, let's continue here. Let's continue to read. Let's start with 5 again. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation of heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, and the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language, and they that were amazed and marveled, saying one to one another, behold, not all these speak Galileans? And know here every man in their own tongue wherein we're born. They're speaking in their own languages. Everybody outside recognized that language they were speaking. And these men of Galilee, they never speak anybody else's language. And these guys were like, wow, that is really neat. You know, no, they were so confounded, so amazed. They were saying, these guys must be crazy. Let's continue. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, I already said that. That's fine. And these which speak Galileans, now hear we every man in the own tongue wherein we were born. Parthians, Medes, Medes, and, okay, all these people. I'm going to skip that. That's fine. All these people seeing them speaking their own tongues. Cretes, Arabians, strangers of Rome, Jews, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of wine. They're saying they're drunk. They're being crazy. They don't know what they're saying. It's ridiculous, is what they're pretty much saying. This cannot happen. This doesn't happen. What's going on? But this brings thoughts into their heads. If this is happening here, why can't it happen everywhere else? And I'm gonna have you. They thought it was foolish. Why are these people being fools up there? They don't know what they're doing. I'm gonna read another one here. It's Acts 17:21. I got it marked. Lost my place. There we go. Yeah, that's not where I wanted to go. It's pretty bad when you can't read your own notes. Anyway, why would we let's go back to us today, you know. We sit here and we listen to preaching, and maybe the Holy Spirit will move. One person will jump out and the rest of us will sit back and just watch them. There goes, oh, sister so-and-so again. I'm going to sit here and watch. Whatever happens, happens. If I feel like I should be moved, I'm going to move, but I'm not going to be moved. Right? Why do we do that as humans? I'm preaching to myself here. You know, I sit on that back pew when the Holy Spirit is moving this place, and I'm sitting there with my hands crossed, looking around like, wow, this is pretty neat. Yeah. But what am I doing? I'm not participating. I'm sitting there off in la-la-la-la land thinking something else. Well, Sister Stonestone's here rolling around, slobbing on herself, and getting blessed. Correct? Right? We're sitting back there like, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to feel embarrassed. I'm going to make a fool of myself. Well, could you stand up for a minute, please? I'm serious. Stand up. Anybody who can stand up, I say that. Everybody touch your noses. Put your hand on top of your head. Spin around 4 times. Come on. Now do it the other way. Now how many people felt embarrassed by doing that? How many people? And that's something I told you to do. What if the Lord or God told you to do that? Would you feel embarrassed? If the Lord said here, just said right here in front of you, said, just told exactly what I told you to do. Would you feel embarrassed? You can sit down now. Right. I'm a man. I'm nobody. I'm just Chris. And you said everybody in the whole congregation stood up before me and did that. What do we do when the Lord is doing that to us? What do? We sit back with our arms crossed. Oh, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to get a blessing. I'm not going to do anything the Lord wants me to do because I don't need to. Right? I've got all the blessing I need. I'm driving a new car. Oh, I've got a new house. Oh, I've got this. I got this. Oh, I just drove by this homeless guy. He was asking for money. He was sitting there skinny. His ribs were showing. I didn't give him no food. I'm all right, though. The Holy Ghost told me to give that man food. Did I? No. What does that do to the Holy Spirit? Just for an analogy, let's say you come to somebody's house, and they invite you into the house. You sit down on the couch. They ignore you the whole time. They don't speak to you. They don't pay you no, never mind. They don't offer you a glass of iced tea. What do you do? How do you feel? You feel unwanted? Right? You want to leave. Well, what do you think the Holy Spirit does? He probably feels the same way. I can't say that. He does. But it's just me. If I came into somebody's house, and this is the house of God, and you are the church, which make up the church, you're the members of the church. And if you act like toward that Holy Spirit, he's not one going to stick around. He don't want to be somewhere nobody wants him to be. Right? And I've seen this in churches. I'm not talking about just the church as a whole is the church. The Holy Spirit moves and you can feel him in the place. You feel the goosebumps, the warmness of his love. And everybody in the crowd is crying and stuff. And this guy comes up and said, okay, everybody sit down. We're going to preach a little bit now. The person does not give heed to the Holy Ghost. That cuts it off right there. Done. The moving, whatever blessings, whatever the Holy Spirit and what God had for you, gone. We didn't give it into, we didn't want it. Right? We didn't give him what we needed. Over one person. One person's all it takes. What if you are that person sitting in the chair to start the Holy Spirit moving? What if you were that person and somebody else behind you needed the blessing? Correct? And we just sat idly back. The Holy Spirit guides you and tells you to go pray for somebody. And you don't go pray for them. Like, oh, they'll get prayed by the pastor. Or get paid for by so-and-so. And that person has a wreck up the road. Your prayer could have saved that man or woman's life before they died, and they could have went to hell. Right then and there. We need to do what the Holy Spirit and what God leads us to do. And me, myself, I have dealt with this for a long, long time. The Lord has led me different directions, and I didn't go that way, and I went amiss. I did the wrong thing at the wrong time and wrong place and got myself in trouble. If I just followed what God wanted me to do, I would be in the right place at the right time when he wanted me to on his time. But I didn't want to do it God's way. I wanted to sit back and cross my arms and do it my way because I was afraid of what somebody else would think. What Sister so-and-so would say about me after church to all other members. Right? I'm not saying that happens here. I'm just saying church as a whole needs to be the church. God never changes. He is God. God is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. He's the same. We should not flounder and be different. We should stay the same. Christians should be Christians. We shouldn't be Christians just at church. We shouldn't just come to church just to get it over with. Right? I gotta go to church, man. Oh, just an hour. Let me see what I can do after church. Right? We sat there twiddling our thumbs, looking at the clock,
when is this big guy going to quit getting on us and stepping on our toes? I want to go home and watch football. Right? Correct? I'm just saying because I thought it too. I'm human. We need to get out of that cycle. We need to quit that. We need to get in one mind and one accord. Because this stuff is just not cutting the mustard. That's why churches are floundering on their numbers. We are not getting out there doing what we are supposed to do as Christians. When's the last time, I want to see people's hands, when's the last time somebody invited somebody to the church? A week ago. 2 weeks ago. A month ago. A year ago. That was the last time I have invited somebody to church. It's a year ago. Just think about it. If I invited somebody to church one day for that whole year, that's 360 people. 65 people that could be sitting in these pews right here. Just me. Just this one person. Just imagine how many people would be in this church or the churches if every person in this church invited one person a day or ministered to one person a day. How many people would we save? Isn't that what we're supposed to do as humans, as Christians? Spread God's news and His gospel through all the world? And we just sat back in our lazy boys and drinking our Cokes. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. But there comes a time and a place that we need to be more better Christians. More better. We need to become Christians. Because this world is rampant. You can see all the death and the killings, the wars, hell on earth. It's coming, people. The end is near. And every time I say that, that gives me a picture in my mind of this old crazy guy with this beard having this sign saying, the end is near, you know. Everybody get that picture? But one of these days, that crazy guy's going to be true. It's going to be real. And you never know. That could be one of God's messengers with that sign up there telling people, listen, this is going to happen. You know, just because he's going, you know, he could be thick-tongued or something. Maybe he's saying, bless you are, he's coming soon or something. We got to give people more respect. That shows the Holy Spirit more respect. Correct? And we need to jump up and praise the Holy Spirit. Because when he's giving you a presence, we need to give him our presence. Correct? At least he deserves that. I believe he deserves more than that. He deserves all we can give him. Our whole soul, our whole body, our whole life. Everything that we have is God's. Why do we keep it for ourselves? Put it in banks. You know, don't get me wrong. That's all fine and good. Correct? We got to have money and everything on this earth to survive. But I'm not going to go there. Okay. But why is it we have $20 in our wallet? We spend, you know, $15 on lunch or dinner. And, you know, one of our buddies at work, I seen this happen another day. We didn't have nothing to eat for lunch. He said, did you bring lunch today? No. I said, okay. He had $5 in his hand. He could have went and gave his buddy that money to go buy lunch. Did he do it? No. And this guy is supposed to be a Christian. And this guy didn't ask for it, but you could tell he was hungry. Because I see this a daily basis. As you guys know, on Saturday, I feed homeless people. And people, these guys are hurting. These girls and women are hurting. Nobody, they feel like nobody in the whole world shows them love. Everybody hates them. They throw beer bottles at them down the highway. Cut them when they walk down the road. Yell and scream at them. And they said, oh, they're Christian people. They just got out of church. And they did that to me. How does that make the church look? How does that make that look? We have to be the church. We have to. Because if we don't, the world's not going to be the church. They want to go out and drink and party and carouse around. That's not what God ordained anybody. You can't do that. Christians should not be doing that. We should treat each other with love, respect, kindness, be Christ-like. not hateful, not despairing the Holy Spirit when He's up there wanting to give you, bless you, and you can bless somebody else. You shouldn't do that. I know I don't have all the words. I do that, but not all the words to describe, but you know what the gist is. You know what I'm trying to say to you guys. We need to step out among them, become the church. Stop being like the world. Stop straddling the, you know, proverbial fence. You know? Stay in. It's all the way in or all the way out. There's no middle. Everybody, even I, you know, this is my example. That's how I inurate the people. I am the big example of everything. Everything that could be done wrong, I have done it. It's better to be all the way in than straddling the fence. Because you can't. You can't do it. Something will come up and make you jump all the way on this side of the fence. This is the bad side of the fence. This is the good side of the fence. We'll make you do either one. It's better to be on the right side of the fence, the good side of the fence. And the Holy Spirit is there for help. That little bitty, tiny little voice you just stomp down every time you don't want to hear it. Every time it leads you to do something, jump out in church or prophesy or whatever may come, you know it. I mean, it's not like, oh, I maybe think it might be the Holy Spirit. Oh, I maybe think it might be Him dealing with this. You know that you know that you know that you know. And you just don't do it. And I am not being mean to anybody. I'm not here beating you up. I'm not giving you black eyes. I'm just trying to, I'm preaching to myself as well. This is for me too. I am infallible. I'm just a human. Everything I'm saying to you, I have done myself. But with Christ, I am made whole. And through this, this has touched me. This has touched me. I am different. The Lord has shown me something that I've done wrong. And He wanted me to share it with others to help them to know that they may be doing wrong. I'm not saying that everybody in this church is that. I'm not saying we have to have a knockdown, drag out, pew jumping, back flipping, Holy Ghost experience. I'm just saying we need to give Him His due. And I believe Pastor does that all the time. I'm not saying that. I'm saying as a church, as a whole, I'm saying we need to become just, we can come together. I'm losing my voice. But we need to come together and unite. Because the world is not uniting against us. We see it all around. Let me close with this. The church is not just a building or the pews within it. It is the people. The people makes up the church. And the members of the church make up Christ's body. And Christ's body is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Correct? And in the world, we should be separated from the world. We should be lights of the world. Not be in it with them. We shouldn't be in that swimming pool with them. We should be miles down the road. But we have to go to that swimming pool to save one or two people. Correct? There's somebody in that swimming pool drowning. Are you going to reach out and save them? That's what I have. So, let's pray.